From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome into the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Neil McCready, Chase Parham here with you at Southern Craft Stove and Tap. Thanks to them for having us out here. Ole Miss Interim Athletics Director Keith Carter will join us in a little while, but right now, about 24 hours before tip-off, Kermit Davis, Ole Miss basketball coach here, kind enough to spend some time with us. Kermit, thanks for being with us.
Great to be here. You know, great to be here. It's Southern Craft is a great place. The owner, Griffin's a great friend of mine. Bubba does some catering with a lot of our recruiting. And so it's good to be out, but it sure smells like basketball in the air.
I know you've done this for a long time. You've coached at a lot of places. You've been a head coach for, I guess, 16, 17 years, an assistant for probably about that amount of time, too. Does opening day ever get any different? Do you always have the jitters?
It never changes. I think this is – I'm not even real sure. I think it's my – maybe 22nd or 23rd year as a head coach, my 38th year in college basketball, even for exhibition games, Neil. Like the other night we played Mississippi College, you wake up and you got that different feeling in your stomach. It's a feeling of nervousness. It's a feeling of kind of fearing to fail a little bit. Your team looks bad. And I think it kind of drives us all, but it's so fun. Our guys, I think they're kind of tired of me. They were so excited when I blew the whistle tonight. It was the last rep. And they know it's game day tomorrow.
I know when you took this job, you were confident you would have success, obviously. Are you surprised that the success, and when I say that, I don't mean just on the court, but off the court, the way that people have gotten excited about basketball here, are you surprised that it has happened as quickly as it has?
You know, it was always my goal, Neil, that was going to happen. I'm so appreciative of the fans. I think of anything that's happened. And last year was terrific. It didn't end like we wanted it to end. But the biggest thing that I knew would happen, if you gave Ole Miss fans a product that they wanted to see, if just a style of play that they wanted to watch, not necessarily have to win every single game, but they wanted to watch, they would come. Because there's so many good pockets of fans in North Mississippi. I mean, I grew up here. I grew up in this North Mississippi area. And you go all these country towns and all these high school gyms are full all night. And so that was the most gratifying thing last year was seeing the fans come that quickly. And you know what they did, Neil? They sped up the process. In recruiting, they sped up the process with our players of winning at home. And so it was fun. So maybe it happened a little quicker than we thought, but it was kind of our goal to try to get to that tournament our first year.
I want to talk about the season coming up, but I do want to reflect on last year a little bit because I got to be honest, I know you were at Middle Tennessee the year before. I was on the Ole Miss beat. I saw that team as it kind of limped to the finish line, and I think limp might be giving it more credit than it deserves. They were that team, when it was over, man, it was over. And you've seen that before. I mean, there was really nothing left in them by the end of that year. If you had told me that team, with a couple of new pieces, and I know KJ and Blake and those guys really helped, if you had told me that team was going to the NCAA tournament the next year, I just never would have believed it. Was there a moment, you've talked a lot about the Canadian trip and that kind of thing, but was there a moment last season that you thought, hey, I know we talk about it, but this is real. We've got a chance.
You know, it was at Butler. It was at Butler. And Butler played great early, and they struggled a little bit late. But when we went to Butler that night, and that place was full, and they were excited to have an SEC team there, and our team fought. We're up like 5 late. And I said, gosh, I really thought Butler at that time, they were NIT. I said, that's an NCAA tournament team. We left that building. We're disappointed that we lost. But, Neil, at that particular time, I said, you know what, guys, we have a chance. I mean, we really do. If we go on the road in this kind of environment, this is an SEC environment, they really have a chance to win. I thought coming home after that game, and I think we lost, but I think it gave our team confidence.
When you got that tournament bid, I mean, I remember I was in the pavilion when you guys got the word that you were in the tournament. How rewarding was that for you to see especially for Terrence, for Brian, for Devontae, for some kids who have been through some difficult times at Ole Miss, to see them get that tournament bid. No matter what, I know the tournament didn't go the way you wanted it to go and all that stuff, but to have that moment where, hey, they got their name called on Selection Sunday.
Yeah, it was one of the most gratifying days of my coaching career in 38 years because, you know, my first team meeting, I looked right at TD and I said, TD, we don't have time to rebuild. It's not fair to you. He's sitting right there in the first seat. And TD was on the edge of his seat, and his body language was so great. And it made me feel so good. And I looked at Brian, and Brian's body language was great. And I knew if I could get those two guys captivated and believing what we're doing, I thought everybody else would fall in line. And to see TD had never been to a tournament, and that's why he came back. He wanted to go to a tournament. And for him to have the kind of year that he had, we got our name called as an at-large, and to be a number eight seed, it really was. I was just so happy for two sets of people, our players and our fans, and it was terrific for everybody.
You mentioned TD right there. What does it mean to have just any kind of NBA presence now, from recruiting for the program? And it's been a while for Ole Miss, so just having even what he's done at this point, what does that do for everybody?
It really is. You can say, guys, you can do it at Ole Miss. You can do it right here. You don't have to go to Kentucky. You don't have to go. You can do it right here. And this guy averaged 1 point a game as a freshman. And so a credit to AK and a credit to TD that his player development went really well as a sophomore and junior. Probably his sophomore year better than his junior year. But TD loved Ole Miss. He was going to stay. His right intentions were there. But when we go out and recruit, there's no question about it. We sell that hard. And we just hope that year after year after year that we can produce NBA players.
I know you can't talk about individual recruits, obviously. We're not going to ask you to, but how has the reception been different maybe this time now as opposed to this time a year ago when you hadn't been to the tournament? Obviously, you had not been there long enough to even get to the tournament, but the program hadn't been to the tournament in a while, and there wasn't an NBA presence really in the program.
Yeah, you know, we swung hard. We got beaten a couple tough recruiting battles. We finished second, and like I tell our staff, it's not like horse racing. There's no place money, you know.
It was first and last. Yeah.
Yes, but we went after it hard. National recruits, and we're involved with one right now that we're close. We'll see what happens, but there's no question we're involved. Our 21 recruiting with the guys that are coming to campus, 22 recruiting, you can just sense it, that we're kind of hopefully we're here to stay. But we got to do, Neil, there's two things got to happen. We got to keep winning, and the fans got to keep showing up. Because the fan base, people don't really understand how important that is in recruiting. When they come and they see on TV or they come in person and they see the people in that arena, It sells itself, and that's better than any talk that I can make in any living room.
Obviously, you guys tip off this time tomorrow night. By the time people hear this that aren't here at Southern Craft, it'll be game day. How does this team look as you hit the court for the first time?
I love coaching our team. I always say this, is that if you can coach your best players the hardest, you've got a chance to have a really, really good team, and we can do that. Brian Tyree, Devontae, KJ, Blake's not out there full time, but those guys are guys that are very receptive to coaching. They don't blink at tough practices. They don't blink at adversity. We're a work in progress right now. We're older at great spot like guards, but we're young in a lot of spots, Neil. But I love coming to the gym, and I think what our fans, I hope they'll see, is they're going to see a team really make progress. They're going to watch them grow right in front of them. And trust me, the team you see tomorrow night is not going to be the team you see in February. We still got some things we got to work out, but we're trying to figure out some depth things too right now.
For the people that missed my report and other people's report from the exhibition game on Monday, what is the latest on Blake Henson?
You know, I think Blake, November 16th seems like the date, and that's when he can go to full contact. And because of the symptoms that he had and the illnesses, he couldn't take any contact for about 90 days. And so we hope on the 16th that he's going to be able to take contact. He's going to go through his last full, like, 16 hours of blood work on Saturday here. And so after that, we will definitely know for sure. But I really think that there's a great possibility for maybe the Memphis game that Blake will be ready. He's not going to be at his best at the Memphis game. but I miss him so much. I miss his passion. I miss his voice. And it's going to be good to get him back.
I thought one of the things last year that was the key for you guys was, you know, AK recruited Brian and Devontae sort of as the opposite of what you ended up playing them last season. When did you look at them and say, you know what, those are good players. I think maybe we've got them in the wrong place. Let's flip them and see what happens.
Just watching a lot of tape and then working them out. And Devontae really, really wanted to be the point. Brian would play the point, and he still can. He's going to play some point this year. But Devontae really, really wanted to have the ball in his hands. And he'd never had it in his hands just full-time. And he'd brought it before, don't get me wrong, but he wanted to run the team. And so that made a big impression on me. And so Brian totally bought in. And all three of those guys knew whoever rebounded the ball was going to be an advanced ball off the floor. But I think it was just Devontae's passion to play the point, and we wanted to put him right there.
You've obviously got a deeper team this year, but Terrence was that guy really the last 3 years, frankly, that, you know, when Ole Miss needed a run, needed some points, he was the guy that oftentimes you turn to for that spark, and he could get a run, that kind of thing. Now that you're, you know, here at the eve of the season, who's the kind of the guys that you're looking to sort of replace that scoring and maybe late in games where, you know, you need a bucket? Who's the guy you go to?
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to start with Brian. And well, Brian has to understand he has such ownership of our team. He has worked so hard. I can't tell you the number of hours away from official practice that this guy has spent in the gym and working. But Brian has to understand the best player, the ball is always going to come back and find him. It will. In our system, it's going to come back and find him. So he doesn't have to put too much pressure on himself to do too much early. And but, yeah, we need a basket. We'll go right to Brian or Devontae. Y'all saw KJ's maturation.
You know, sure.
I mean, just yeah. Don't you see his body, Neil? His body
absolutely.
Looks different. I'm not saying he's going to get 21 every night. And I wish Blake, because Blake has made just as much progress as KJ. So what excites me so much is that just the character, I think, you know, everybody's going to look to Brian and Devontae, but we got some other guys, I think, with KJ and Blake to make plays, critical plays at the end.
The Ole Miss volleyball team returns to the Gillum Center tonight as they take on the Florida Gators at 6:30 p.m. Admission is free. More information can be found at olemisssports.com. The 2019 Men's Hoops Rebel Flex Pass is on sale now for just $199. Receive a ticket to every home game this season with varying seat locations from game to game. This will allow you to experience the pavilion at Ole Miss from all angles. Visit olemisstix.com and get your Rebel Flex Pass for just $199. The Ole Miss men's hoops team opens their 2019-20 campaign inside the pavilion tonight at 6 for their salute to service night. All current and former military receive free admission. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit olemisstix.com. Dead Soxy is giving away $500 in free alumni socks. All you have to do is guess the score of 5 college football games. Post your guesses in the comment box on the Dead Soxy Facebook page prior to the start of the first game. The closest guess for each game will win $100 to spend on deadsoxy.com. Picks are brought to you right here at Southern Craft Stove & Tap, located off Highway 7 and Sisk Avenue. Southern Craft Stove & Tap places an emphasis on food and atmosphere, mixing the quality of fine dining with a come-as-you-are environment, featuring 30 craft beers and offering a high-quality selection of cuisine and libation. Southern Craft Stove & Tap has you covered for any occasion. Lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch, or your favorites catered out. So avoid the chaos of parking on the square. Head over and experience carefully crafted dishes with your favorite Southern ingredients. Southern Craft Stove & Tap, Highway 7 and Sisk Avenue in Oxford. Podcast also brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust, based in Madison, Mississippi. They represent clients in more than 20 states. They have advisors in 3 states. Founded in 1997, Pinnacle Trust provides detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and so much more. They treat investing like a commodity. Decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. So regardless of your level of wealth, Pinnacle Trust will sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan that's built just for you. It's pintrust.com,
PINNTrust.com. Mention you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast. You'll get 10% off your first year's fee. And we're brought to you by the Westin Jackson, home to Soul Spa, the ultimate luxury spa experience in downtown Jackson, and Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro, where you can sip on a creative craft cocktail or enjoy the curated wine list. It's open for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch. The Westin Jackson is a Marriott property located in downtown Jackson. You can accrue Marriott points there. You can use your Marriott points there. Highly recommended if you are visiting Jackson for the weekend, passing through Jackson for work. The Westin Jackson, downtown Jackson.
I noticed that KJ just looked like a much more confident player Monday night. I know it was an exhibition. It was Mississippi College. You're going to play better teams and that kind of thing. I just thought his body language was different. That's not knocking his body language a year ago, but it was just last year he was a freshman, and sometimes you could see he was sort of feeling his way. I didn't see that the other night.
Yeah, I mean, he was 17 years old last year playing, and he was young. And he did. He almost, his body language, almost like he's about to cry sometime last year, you know. And it just, he was just so young. And I said, KJ, just come on, man. Just play. Next play. And so, yeah, he's just growing up. And I'm telling you one thing. I've coached a long time, Neil. For his age, he's one of the very smartest players I've ever had on my team. He can play the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and remember everybody's spot right now. He just absolutely, it comes natural to him. And that's a great thing to have.
You guys weren't super athletic in the post last year. I know that Bruce had his moments and Dom had his moments, but you've got Hadeem C now and Sammy Hunter and KJ and Carlos Curry and some guys that are probably more athletic guys than them. How does that change the way that maybe you can approach games as a coach?
Yeah, we didn't show it against Mississippi College. Dream is, I call Hadeem C, I call him Dream. He was kind of coming out of concussion protocol, and he wasn't at his best. I didn't think we gave Carlos Curry the start. He had been practicing well. It's kind of his first official game. I didn't think Carlos played very well. But they're both athletic. Dream's the one that needs to be good for us. He's got to be good. And he's got great verticality, rim protection. We got to have that. We got to have scoring in the post. And, you know, so we're still a work in progress right there, and those guys got to keep improving.
When you went back and watched that film, I guess you probably watched it Monday night. Players watched it Tuesday morning. Did you sort of see maybe some first game jitters and some of that stuff? Or
yeah, the fans didn't even really get the chance to see what Hadeem can do. And I hope that he'll play better tomorrow. He's had a good week of practice. You know, number one, our biggest thing is we don't share the ball like we need to right now, Neil. And against Texas, it was a great scrimmage, but we turned the ball over too much. The strength of our team last year kind of went unnoticed. We took care of the ball in a great way. I mean, there was sometimes we won the game because we just refused to turn it over. We got shots at the game. We didn't. In this league, Mark Fox, who left Georgia, and I knew Mark well, I said, Mark, tell me something about the SEC. Because let me tell you what, when you're trying to build a program, live ball turnovers. Because if you turn that thing over in this league, they just dunk it right on top of you on the other end. And so it stuck with me really hard in that we had to take care of the ball. The other night, we had 20 turnovers. No offense to Mississippi College. They're well coached by Mike, but they weren't even trying to pressure us. It was just turnover. Had 8 turnovers at the 5 spot with Carlos and Dream. So that's one thing that's got to carry over tomorrow night's game.
I know in the preseason, there was a lot of talk about Luis Rodriguez and his development. I know Monday night didn't go well for him at all, but what do you sort of expect from him starting tomorrow as this season gets going?
Well, Luis is going to start the game. He's had an unbelievable week of practice. He responded, and that's what players do. And that was his first start in the SEC, but he didn't rebound the ball. He kind of lost his identity, floating around the three-point line. We're going to let him shoot three-pointers. He can shoot them, shoot open, step-in threes. But he just lost his identity. He was the only guy on our team to not have a rebound. John McBride came in and got one. And so this week he's been one of our top 2 or 3 leading rebounders. That's what he's got to be. He's got to have his personality, his toughness get in there, rebound the ball, be our best perimeter defender.
I know coaches can only look at one game at a time, but you're human. You look at your schedule. You mentioned Memphis earlier. That's going to be that huge game there at FedEx Forum. And then the league looks like it is just stacked. I mean, someone asked me to sort of rank the league, and I was like, okay, well, I know who to put it 1 and 2, sort of, and I think I know who to put it 14. I won't put you on that spot, but I kind of knew who to put it 14.
I don't mind 14, Neil, early. Not late, early, I don't mind it.
But then I started looking at 3 through about 9 or 10, and, man, it's kind of a jumble. I mean, in a good way, the league is I don't remember it ever being this just deep top to bottom.
Vanderbilt is much improved. I mean, people that watched their game last night said their team is different. They're playing better. They're pick 14. Missouri, Konzo thinks this may be one of the best teams he's ever had, even including his teams at Tennessee. They're pick 13. And so I just think that some people think we're only going to have 6 teams in the tournament. I think it may be 8 or 9. I think it's no question.
Well, you know my prediction, right?
What?
I'm on record on this. I said this last year. A team that goes 8 and 10 in the SEC is going to the tournament.
I think you may be right. Now, one thing we have to do, Neil, we have to do our part in November and December. Our teams have to win games because in January and February, we're going to beat each other up. It's just going to happen.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't care if you're Kentucky, if you're Florida, you go on the road in our league or try to win at home, there's going to be tough matchups all months.
That's kind of what I was going to get at is you have a young team and all of that stuff, but you don't really – if the goal is to get to the tournament, and I know it is, you don't really have the luxury of, hey, let's sort of take our time developing here. You got to go get W's somehow, some way.
Yeah, I mean, it's these early games. Last year, Neil, knock on wood, we had no bad losses. We didn't. And this Arkansas State team we played tomorrow night is so much improved. And that's just not coach talk. I mean, I watched their team. They got like 8 guys returning. And so they're more veteran team. Like their team is put together. They play together. And, I mean, like tomorrow night with our team, we've got to play. We've got to really, really execute and play. Norfolk State beat Alabama in the NIT last year. Really good team again. So, but the beauty about Ole Miss, you can play 4 straight home games. And hopefully that you're good enough to keep continuing and getting better. But you're right. These first four games, they're not life or death, but they're critical in everybody trying to reach a tournament.
When you sit at home on a – I know you don't get a lot of free time once the season rolls around. Are you a basketball junkie? Do you sit and just watch it?
I do. I mean, the beauty about TV now is I put my pad by my chair. I know it sounds like a coach saying it, but I've done it my whole life. And anything I see, I write down. But used to, you couldn't play it back. Isn't that so cool now?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You can actually
got the DVR
play it back.
Going.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes me a couple of times. You can play it back and then speed it back up and get to live action. And that's the most ingenious. I don't know how they do it, but it's the greatest thing in a coaching world. But I pay attention all the time. I mean, it's so funny how I married a gal, Betty, who obviously is hooked on basketball now. She didn't even know basketball was around when I married her. And every time I walk in, there's the best basketball game is on TV. There's nothing else but basketball. So we enjoy it. And as you're making calls at night, you've always got your eye on the TV.
Are there other leagues you kind of like or what? I mean, what do you sort of like? What do you want to catch on from a college standpoint? I mean, do you like, you know, Big Ten, Pac-12? Do you catch on some Pac-12 late at night? What do you like?
Yeah, I'm usually asleep at Pac-10, Pac-12. But, you know, I like all leagues. I mean, obviously the other night, when it was the deal in Madison Square Garden, I was watching Florida and North Florida. I was watching Auburn and Georgia Southern. I really wanted to see how our teams looked. And then I obviously went back and watched Kentucky play in their big win against Michigan State. I just love watching styles. I love relaying messages from things I've seen to our players the next day. And I want our guys to watch college basketball. I wanted that day. We didn't have a particular great practice on Wednesday. I wanted them to watch and say, do you belong in those 2 games in Madison Square Garden? Those are the games that we're trying to get into right there. And so I love watching. It's just what I am, and I enjoy it. I love watching different coaches. And so Tuesday night was fun just to watch it open.
Has it changed the way that maybe you'll be able to schedule in the future? The fact that you've – like I know a couple of the games that – really stick out in my mind from an atmosphere standpoint. Didn't end the way you wanted them to, but the atmosphere at Tennessee, Kentucky last year at the Pavilion, the atmosphere was incredible.
Yeah.
It looked amazing on television, all that kind of thing. You guys go to the tournament, now you produce an NBA player. Will it change the way that maybe you want to or can schedule in the future?
You know, number one, the fans, thank you for what they did. You know, Ole Miss basketball will not arrive until our fans are here in November to watch Ole Miss play.
Yeah.
And we're not waiting for the SEC schedule. We haven't arrived. We're not going to create a national brand until that happens. Now, we got to keep doing our part. And but you're right, the Tennessee-Kentucky games, I just watched those two games the last week. I wanted to see kind of how where we were at that particular time of the year. And I really kind of forgot just how good a games that it was and how
great
well
games.
We played.
Yeah.
And how well Tennessee and Kentucky played. I mean,
yeah,
they played
sure.
good too. And just how our fans acted. But there's no doubt. I mean, it's different. We hope tomorrow night that we can have a crowd that's different. We hope the student body will come right there and just start with us on Friday night and help us win because we desperately need it.
One of the things I thought was kind of interesting was we asked Bree and Tyree about the NCAA tournament. And obviously, that game against Oklahoma was probably a bit of a nightmare for you, for the players, everybody. And I sort of anticipated that I would get sort of the, I don't know, coach speak sort of answer from him where he said, no, I flushed it. I'm not watching. He said, no, I've watched it hundreds of times.
Yeah.
As a coach, that has to make you kind of feel good, right? That's his lowest point. He did not play well. They picked on him in that game. He's your senior leader, and he said, hey, I'm going to watch this. I'm gonna burn it into my memory.
Oh, there's no doubt, Neil. I watched it last week, too. I probably watched it five times, and I watched it again. I went back last week, and I watched some games at the end of our year. And I wanted to, like I said, I wanted to see where we were. God, Oklahoma, our energy level was pretty good. God, they made shots. I forgot just like.
Yeah.
I said, boy, it wasn't like we didn't play, but they just came out, and then they got going. And then you're right, what happened last year with Brian? His shot making affected other parts of his game. It affected his body language. It affected the way he defended. And that's what we're trying to convince Brian to do. Like yesterday, he had 7 assists, no turnovers in the practice. And that's great. Those are things that he's got to do for our team to really take shape. Because there's going to be some nights. I mean, they're going to be right after him. There's going to be tough buckets to come by. He's got to make other guys better.
A couple of guys I haven't asked you about, I know we're starting to push up against time. Austin Crowley looked good the other night. I thought Bryce Williams looked terrific the other night. Super athletic guy. Just how deep do you anticipate going early in the season?
We could go 10 or 11 tomorrow. And you're right. Austin Crowley's going to be a really good player. He's a good shooter. He took some open looks. The Ole Miss fans are going to watch him. He's so athletic. Nobody really has seen it. I mean, I'm talking about TD athletic. And so he's going to have some of those plays during his career. Great kid. You know, I love, did you see, I don't know if you saw the tweet the other day, just on his own, he's from West Point, he tweeted out, how cool is it for me and my coach to both be Mississippi made? So that shows you his love for Ole Miss and that he's a Mississippi guy and he's so excited about being here. So he's really, he's going to do some really good things. Bryce Williams came off the bench, had 10 or 12. He is. I mean, he's one of these electric athletes. And both those guys just need game experience, just get hit in the mouth in games, some things not go right to do well.
We really appreciate your time. I know you're busy tonight, so thanks for carving out some time for us. We really appreciate it. Good luck this year.
Would love to be back with you, Neil. Look forward to seeing everybody tomorrow night in the pavilion. Thank you. Hotty toddy.
Take a break in the podcast. Tell you about Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. Your local underwriting understands your market. A leader in condo financing in Oxford, the float down option. And with rates as low as they've been in about 2 years, good time to talk to Jason. 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com. Podcast also brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. They got premium lawn care throughout northern Mississippi, but in these months, maybe building a custom playground, retaining walls, pool decks for the summer, outdoor living spaces, and more there with MasterCuts. You can get a quote online for free. That's at gomastercuts.com or 662-607-7773. Again, one more time, gomastercuts.com. Also with Tyson Drugs and G&M Pharmacy, it's time to get that flu shot if you haven't done it. Flu vaccines available with a $0 copay on most insurance plans. No one has time to wait in line for the overworked pharmacist at the chain drugstore, so stop by one of the locally owned pharmacies where they can help you as quickly and painlessly as possible get out of there and get taken care of. Tyson Drugs on the Square in Holly Springs or G&M Pharmacy off South Lamar Boulevard in Oxford, 662-236-2222. And also visit Oxford. Visit OxfordMS.com is the website. And discover the perfect type of holiday getaway in Oxford this season. The lively city has plenty of exciting events for family and friends, including the Oxford Christmas Parade, the holiday house tours, and more. Spend your holidays in the winter wonderland of Oxford. Enjoy the festive activities of the season, including a holiday concert by the Midtown Men, the downtown Christmas tree lighting, the holiday ornament auction, all happening this December. Holiday events such as visiting with Santa at Visit Oxford, the Holiday Village, and the Elf Scavenger Hunt are sure to bring the magic of the season to life. Come experience the enchanting events that Oxford offers this holiday. You can find out that and more at visitoxfordms.com or pop up oxfordms.com as well. Now back to the show.
Traded out here. We'll get Keith Carter to come join us as he makes his way through for the second half of the program. Thanks for Kermit there. Again, Ole Miss and Arkansas State tomorrow night from the Pavilion in Oxford. So we'll turn it over here and give us 15, 20 seconds to get this thing sorted out. Interim Athletics Director Keith Carter joining us now. We'll start here with Kermit just leaving the room. Obviously, you were somewhat involved during that coaching search that brought Kermit in. Kind of rehash some of that for us a little bit. When did he sort of come into play? What'd you like? Kind of take us through that timeline a little bit from last year.
Well, I think, you know, first of all, Kermit was a guy that we certainly knew about from his travels into the Pavilion and into Tadsmith Coliseum. So we had seen his work up close. But we really didn't interview him just based on the timing of it until a little later in our process. So we had interviewed some folks and had some good conversations with people. But we went to Nashville and met with Kermit, and you could tell after about 10 minutes of the interview that this one was different. You could really tell that he was invested. He knew our program, obviously, from the state of Mississippi. He made it very known that he wanted our job and felt like he could do a good job there, and he sat on the edge of his chair for 2 hours and told us about his vision, and we got to pepper him with questions, and we literally walked out of the place where we met him, and Ross and I looked at each other and were like, I think that one was a little different than the other. So it was a lot of fun, and certainly with his history and knowing him and his performance that he had against Ole Miss and then the interview process, it was really a no-brainer for us.
He can't say it, maybe because he wasn't there. He was at Middle Tennessee trying to get a team into the NCAA tournament at the time. But you were around that last team, you know, TD was a junior and Devontae was a sophomore. That team was beaten down by the end of the year. There was nothing left in them. They actually, I guess the tournament was in St. Louis, and they actually played a pretty good game and kind of folded late. And it was, I remember that locker room being not even despondent, just kind of depressing. I never believed that team could turn around a year later and do what they did. I know, obviously, you liked what you saw from Kermit. You liked what you heard. But did you think it would happen that quickly?
No, I didn't. And for a lot of the same reasons you mentioned. I knew we had some good guards coming back, and I knew that the cupboard was not bare. Andy had left him with some talent. But just based on the way they finished and – you know, kind of some depth issues that we had in the post and different things there. I think what he did last year was really nothing short of a miracle, you know, and getting the team to the tournament. And obviously you had those three guards played had a tremendous season, and Terrence played great, and, you know, those two other guys played well. But I think, too, just sometimes when you have a change of scenery, it's a different mindset. And I was there the first meeting, you know, when he went in and met with the team, and he said, you know what, it's not fair to say we're going to rebuild. He looked right at Terrence and said, you're a senior. You know, we need to win next year, and we need to do that. So they bought in. All those guys started working hard and bought into his system. But, you know, to do what we did last year, I think everybody would say probably a little ahead of schedule.
Obviously, you were at Ole Miss during a time when you guys won. You went to the tournament. You were competitive. It fell off for a while. There's so much excitement. It's, what, November, as we tape this, 7th? And there's so much excitement about basketball. As a basketball guy, that's got to make you feel good. But more as an Ole Miss guy, that's got to be something that you think, hey, this is something we can build on. And he was making the comment just a minute ago about to become a national brand, you've got to do it in November. You can't wait till February and March when everybody turns their attention to basketball. You've got to do it at a time when people don't have their attention turned to basketball. How close do you think this program is to doing that? What do you sort of anticipate from a crowd standpoint, an energy standpoint, these first four games of the season?
Yeah, I think it's, we're close, honestly. You know, we've sold over 5,000 season tickets this year, the most we've ever sold. People are excited about these first home games. And, you know, I think with football having been a little bit down and trying to rebuild, you know, some people maybe have shifted over to basketball a little earlier. than normal. But, you know, I think it's exciting. One of the things that Kermit always talks about, too, to have a national brand, you've got to have fans that travel. And I can't tell you how many requests I've had for our tournament in Brooklyn. You know, so many people going up over Thanksgiving to watch the guys play. And, you know, he's done a great job of building that. You know, he allows fans to come in and watch practice. He's so, you know, accessible with his program. And, you know, I think you're seeing that, you know, that equity is being built around town, around the state. And, you know, people are excited about it.
What's it been like for you the last 6 months or so? I mean, you move into the other office, obviously a lot going on. Well, you and I talked, I guess, during the summer when it was real new. You were still kind of working out of everywhere and whatnot. But just overall, what's it kind of been like this during this time period?
You know, it's been good. I think, you know, it's been a learning curve. There's been some things there that, you know, you certainly have to learn. And, you know, my career has been, you know, mostly external. So I've spent a lot of time with Julie Owen over in compliance and Bob Baker in academics learning about those things. But it's been really good. And, you know, obviously we've had some staff that have left. And so we've had to kind of wear a lot of hats over that time. But it's been great. You know, I think that, you know, once football season started, obviously you get in that weekly routine where it just really starts to fly by. But, you know, overall with the uncertainty and the interim title and all that, I think it's gone pretty well. And, you know, I think now it's certainly time to turn that page. And you know, obviously we're gonna have that here pretty soon.
Hey, I want to take a moment to remind people that Blue Delta Jeans is here right now. You can get $100 off tonight. If you're here for the podcast, you can get $100 off, get yourself a pair of Blue Delta jeans. You can knock out a little early Christmas shopping, get a gift card from Blue Delta. And if any of you next week that are listening, you're in New York, Columbus, Orlando, or Tampa, you can go into those areas, reach out to Blue Delta jeans on their social media or at info@bluedeltajeans to schedule your own private fitting.
Yeah, I think we can ask this. I think it's at least fair just from a human standpoint because you're human, you're thinking or whatever. When you first got this, do you have to kind of block out the interim thing and just say, I'm the athletic director a little bit? I mean, do you sort of have to get that out of your mind that there's potentially a timetable on this or a timeline or anything and make decisions that are short-term and long-term, and how do you kind of balance that a little bit?
Yeah, and I, you know, Larry, you know, when he called me, you know, he told me, he said, hey, I want you to be the AD, you know, and I want you to act as you're the AD. And, you know, I think if you look back over the past 5 or 6 months, there's been some decisions that are made that you know, would reflect that. And then there's probably been some that we haven't been able to make because you don't want to put, you know, these long-term visionary plans in place when you don't know if you're going to be the one doing it. So it's been a hard balance. It's been hard to thread the needle in some ways. But, you know, I think our staff's been good. Our coaches have been great. And, you know, I think we've all kind of pulled the rope in the same direction. So it's worked pretty well.
How much has this experience, in the event that you get the permanent job, how much has this experience helped you prepare for it, maybe more so than you would have had you, you know, just gone in cold? You know what I mean? I mean, had you not been an interim for half a year?
I think it's been invaluable. You know, I think that, you know, you go into it and you talk to Ross and you talk to your buddies that are ADs, you know, the Danny Whites and Alan Greens of the world. And, you know, you hear them talk about you don't know until you're in the chair. And you learn that very quickly when you're in the chair. You know, there's so many things that come at you quickly, things that cross your desk that, you know about. You know those things happen. But when you're the one making those decisions, you know, it forces you to jump into those things and act. And, you know, I think, again, we've had great staff that's been very helpful. But at the end of the day, when you're the one making the decision, you know, it puts you in that place to do it. So, you know, I think the last 5 or 6 months, my whole career, I always thought I wanted to be an AD. And I think the last 5 or 6 months has really solidified that this is what I want to do, and that it, you know, I can be good at it. And you know, we've had some things happen along the way that have been challenging, and certainly, you know, the interim status has made it even more challenging in some ways. But I think it's prepared me in a big way for the long term.
What? It's certainly been eventful, right? I mean, it's never been really boring.
Yeah, it's never boring. And, you know, I think that for us, in some ways, we want to get back to boring, yeah. You know. Certainly, we want to win championships, and those are not boring. But the day-to-day, just doing your day job, you know, we've dealt with NCAA. We dealt with, you know, coaches leaving, you know, so many different things over the past 5 or 6 years. And I think that from our standpoint, the stability is going to be the main thing. We've got to get back to, again, focusing on student-athletes, focusing on supporting coaches. You know, getting our fan base back united again, that's so important. And I think it's hard to do when you got all those obstacles and all of those things that, that make it interesting and make it not boring. So, you know, in a lot of ways, I would love to see Ole Miss athletics get back to boring in some ways, and let's just focus on winning those championships.
You'd like for Tuesday to be Tuesday again.
No doubt.
Yeah, I got it.
No doubt.
How do you get fans back involved, if you will? I mean, obviously, there's a lot of people here. There's going to be a lot of people at the Pavilion tomorrow. Probably not going to be quite as many people at Vaught-Hemingway on Saturday for a lot of different reasons. But how do you kind of get people re-engaged? Is it as simple as you got to win?
Well, you know, winning always helps. It's the best marketing plan that there is. But we need leadership. You know, we need stability. We need somebody that's going to, you know, come in. And not just the AD, but overall, there's got to be stability in the department. And, you know, I think when people see that, you know, there's somebody there leading the department, making decisions in the best interest of the department, you know, and again, just getting past some of the negativity with the NCAA, I feel like literally every day we get farther away from that, it gets better. And you know, we're going to do our best to never go through that again, or, you know, bolster compliance, do all those things. But at Ole Miss, and I've been here a long time, and I've seen a lot of different cycles, and when we're at our best, we're all pulling the same direction. And that's evident by, you know, when we're winning, when things are going well. And I know it's fractured right now. We've got to find a way to pull everybody back together. You know, hopefully we can finish this football season strong. Obviously basketball getting started, people are excited about that. We always know what Mike's going to do in baseball to keep you right there in the mix for everything. So we just need some positive things to happen. And when we start stacking those things together, building the vision of what we want Ole Miss athletics to be, we're going to get there.
Have you tried to do that, too, from a communication standpoint, being accessible to fans, donors, that kind of thing? How have you kind of been able to try to get people back in and at least show transparency, all those sort of things? What was sort of your plan with that when you got the job on just starting to be available and kind of beginning that process a little bit?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, to me, my whole career has been on the external side. So I've been in front of people, and that's important to me. You know, all the ADs and people that I've worked for and kind of the mentors of mine have always talked about how you can't do your job from behind your desk. And, you know, sometimes you've got to spend time in the office, but I want to be out in front. I want to be doing things like this. I want to be out with donors in their offices and, you know, in front of them and hearing, you know, what's going on outside of the campus at Ole Miss. So we're going to continue to do that. You know, we're going to be aggressive. We're going to be out in front of people. You know, we're going to get our coaches out in front of people, our development staff. We're going to continue to ask for money. You know, we've got things that we need to do there from a facility and capital project standpoint. So we're going to continue to be aggressive, and, you know, I think for us, and you know, we've been this way, but I think because of all of the negativity, you know, from a development standpoint, I can't tell you how many meetings I went to where, you know, you spent the first 45 minutes talking about the NCAA case or, you know, some of the negative things going on instead of this great project that we have. So I think, again, as I told Neil, as we get a day by day away from the NCAA, people want to talk more about, you know, where we're going instead of what we've been through. And I think that's very important.
The Oxford Exxon podcast is also brought to you by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. If you're thinking about that golf trip with the guys you'll never forget, maybe an anniversary trip she'll never forget, whatever the case may be, get in touch with John before you book it on your own. He's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows John to supply his clients with added values and unique benefits that are simply not available to other travelers. So if you're thinking about going with the boys to Pebble Beach or taking her to Napa for the vacation of her dreams, give John a call, give him some parameters, give him a budget, and let him give you some options. And know this, you don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. 901-494-3387 or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. First time clients can save $50 off their first book trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. It's a podcast that's also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, great lease deals as well. Get in touch with Gene and Sandy and Claire and the people there at Grenada Nissan. Tell them that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast or at rebelgrove.com. You'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And we're brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. He's also a real big part of Savannah Square. It's a new 9-acre development, 0.7 mile from the Oxford downtown square, conveniently located east of North Lamar, just a short stroll from the Midtown Shopping Center. If you're coming up this weekend for basketball, for football, whatever, get in touch with Harry. There are multiple properties at different stages of development there at Savannah Square. You can also check out the model home at 215 William Street. It's SavannahSquareOxford.com, or give Harry a call or text 662-801-5621. And we're brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home and all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with a personal touch. It's also home to Kasasa. It's the absolute best cash checking account. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000 and refund ATM fees nationwide. OUB also has a commercial checking account now paying 1% interest as long as you keep $10,000 in the account. It comes with fully interactive online banking. To learn more about OUB, check out LiveOxford, BankOxford.com, or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
When did AD Anywhere kind of become a career goal for you? You mentioned that. You know, you thought about it, different things. Obviously, you come back to Ole Miss, been here for a while and different things. When did that sort of click that, hey, that might be a path that I at least am interested in?
You know, for me, it wasn't something that I wanted to do when I was a kid. You know, I grew up and played sports, and obviously came here and played sports, went overseas and played for a while. And I think when I got back from my playing career and then started spending some time with Danny White, who's now the AD at UCF, we just spent a lot of time together on the road, seeing donors, doing different things. And obviously he did grow up in that world with his dad being an AD. And it just started really intriguing me, and I started just trying to learn and absorb everything I could from him, from others like Alan and obviously Ross when he was here, and others around the country. But, you know, what I thought was so cool was that from a student-athlete standpoint, I never realized what it took to turn the lights on, to get on a charter plane and go play, to, you know, have a team meal. It just showed up and happened. And then when you get on the other side of it, you realize that, you know, as on the administrative side, you can do so many things to help students and help them have the resources they need to win and be successful, not only at, you know, in their sport, but after college. And, you know, to be a part of that and to be able to lead that charge is something that intrigued me. And then over the past, you know, 10 or 11 years, it's really grown. So that's been a goal for probably 10 or 11 years. And, you know, obviously getting the opportunity to be the interim AD was an awesome thing.
I don't want to stay on it long because I don't think it's fair to you, but I also don't want to ignore the elephant in the room. When you look at football, where the program is today, where this team is right now, more from a big picture standpoint, how do you evaluate it? And again, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. I don't think it's fair to you to do it, but you've had to make some big decisions, and obviously if you get this job down the road, you're going to have to make even bigger decisions as it pertains to football. When you look at the program, what do you see?
Well, first of all, you know, I think that what you see is that Matt Luke and his staff are checking every single box you want in a program except for the win-loss column. And, you know, it's a win-loss business. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
That's how we all get graded. But I think if you look into the program, you see that a lot of great things are happening. We're kids are playing hard. We've got talent on the field, young talent. Yeah, recruiting is going well, all those things. And, you know, unfortunately, we just haven't been able to get over the hump and win games. And we got to do that. You know, we all know that. Matt knows that. But I feel like the program is heading in a good direction. You know, we've just got to find ways to continue to improve. And again, you know, finding a way to win and learning how to win is a hard thing. You know, sometimes it takes winning one of those close ones, and instead of playing not to lose, all of a sudden you're like, hey, we can win games. And we just haven't been able to do that in these close games. So I'm excited about the last three games. I want to see how we finish. But, you know, I think that the program is heading in a good direction.
I was going to ask you that because you were a player that walked into a program that had not won. And you guys, if I remember right, I think it was maybe you beat Auburn or Arkansas, one or the other.
Auburn.
Everybody jumped up on the scoring table and all that stuff. Did it get easier to win after you won, as elementary as that sounds? I mean, this football team has lost so many close games where it's a play here, a play there. And like you said, it's a scoreboard business. It's a W or an L. There's no in-between. But once you get over that hump, if you get over that hump, does it get easier to stay there?
I think it does. You know, that year, and you know, we started off 0-5 in the league, and then we finished 7-9. You know, and so you win one, and all of a sudden, like you figure out that it's something that you can do, and you win another one, and you start stacking wins on top of each other. But it is. It's sometimes it's as simple as that, as just finding a way to get over the hump. You know, you know, with Ole Miss this year, if you find a way to get over the hump in one of those games, I think the combined in those five is like 37 points. You know, they've all been close. They've all been one or two plays, a possession. And for whatever reason, you know, we just haven't got the balance. I mean, you look at the A&M game, you know, it's one play. You know, we're driving to maybe put the game out of reach. The fumble happens, the scoop and score. And what you find is when you win a game, you start making those, you start getting those breaks, and they start falling your way. So it's going to happen. I feel good about it. And, you know, I think for us, it's we got to be patient. We got to let, you know, Matt continue to coach and these guys continue to grow up.
Just kind of curious from an AD standpoint, because anywhere, not just Ole Miss, but just in general, sports are different, not the, you know, expectations are to win, but obviously resources and everything are different in every sport. How do you as an athletic director sort of evaluate sport by sport versus overall just winning culture that you're trying to push through an athletic, you know, department? Because, you know, baseball, they win every year. They've got a lot of resource issues. You know, basketball is building back up with Kermit, football where it is. Is it sort of hard, or is it sort of different to try to figure out what an average season should look like in each individual sport?
Yeah, I think you've got to spend time in each sport. And to me, kind of a baseline for Ole Miss is we want to finish top half of the SEC in every sport. I mean, without question. And in some sports, we can finish a lot higher than that. Absolutely. Consistently, we can do that. But, yeah, I think you've got to look at football in one way and see kind of what we've been through and where we're going. And baseball may be another one. You know, basketball may be another one. So it gets complex at times, and there's no really cookie-cutter way to look at it because I think you have to dive into each sport. So we'll always do that. You know, we'll continue to evaluate each sport as the season goes on, after the season, what we need to improve on, all those things. But, yeah, it's certainly one of, kind of a case-by-case on each sport.
Everybody's doing the long-term scheduling. I saw where Georgia and Wisconsin or something scheduled a game for 21-72 or something like that. How far out are you looking at scheduling? And has the whole interim thing prevented you all from getting involved in that? I know you scheduled with Purdue and that kind of thing, but
Virginia Tech.
Yeah, Virginia Tech. Everyone's scheduling literally 20 years out. How much of that are you having to work on? Not day to day, but, you know, keep an eye on it.
We actually have a weekly meeting, and Michael Thompson, myself, and Wesley Owen had a weekly meeting. Obviously, Michael's not here anymore, so Wesley and I actually met this morning, and we have another home-and-home with a Power 5 that we can't quite announce yet, but it'll be for 2026 and 2031. Sorry, 2027 and 2030 that we'll announce here in the next couple days. But you got to get ahead of it simply because the SEC mandate to have the extra Power 5 opponent. And if you're not careful, you look up and you've got games that you need to schedule in 3 or 4 years and there's nobody left to play. And so I know it's crazy. I was at a luncheon the other day with some folks, and a lot of the gentlemen in the luncheon were kind of 70 and older. And it was right after the announcement came out. And they're like, well, we won't be at that one, you know. And so I'm like, well, I hope I am, you know. So, but it's one of those deals where certainly when you're scheduling 18 and 20, that's a little, you know, a little over the top. But, you know, I think we're really only about 4 years away after, you know, the announcement of this game we just got scheduled. And we'll be all the way through 2037 with our Power 5 games.
Wow.
So then what you can do is you can follow those with your guarantee games and start to plug and play. It's a giant puzzle that's pretty hard to solve. And I think one of the things we're going to start looking at is, obviously, once we get our Power 5 opponents done, your guarantee games, you know, you're looking at 1-5, 1-6, 1-7, to play those games and have them come in and play you. Are there some group of five opponents that make sense to do home and homes with? You know, destinations where our fans would love to go to, recruiting areas where our coaches want to go to. And obviously you want to put your team in the best position to win, but it's also there's some financial, you know, responsibility there as well. So we're going to look at doing all that.
What is a perfect non-conference schedule look like in your opinion? I mean, what sort of balance would you like in a utopia world?
At Tulane.
Of course, yeah.
Well, we're about to play Tulane like 3 of the next 5 years or something. So, and their deputy athletics director is a friend of mine. So, hopefully, we can keep them on the schedule in the future.
That's been my little theory here lately. Is that you should just go to Tulane every year. You don't go to Baton Rouge and just give everybody the South Louisiana trip every year.
Yeah.
So you just set it up every other time. They never have to come to Oxford. It'll be all right.
Right. Now, our fans love that. They love it. And you know, the problem now with Tulane is that you know, they have a great new stadium that holds about 35,000, and so they're not as happy to give us as many tickets anymore when you're playing them on campus. So you got to factor in all those things. But to me, you know, obviously the SEC, you're playing 8 really tough games every year. You got a 9th game that's mandated as a Power 5. And with that one, you know, I think you want to find matchups that are fun, that are cool destinations. Every once in a while play, you know, one of those neutral site games that's fun for everyone. But we're kind of getting away from that now, more home and homes. But, you know, I think it kind of depends on where your program is. Like, we need to find Power 5 games we can be competitive in. You know, not just big names that sell tickets, but which you got to find that balance. You want to play both to where you can be competitive and also the fans want to come and watch. And then I think you just fill in with, you know, your guarantee games. And again, with that one, you want to find games you can be competitive in. You want to put your team in the best position to win those. In a perfect world, you'd love to win all 4 of those non-conference games with what our you know, conference schedule is going to be. But at the same time, I was telling Neil, I think that we're going to really start looking at maybe some group of 5 home and homes that makes sense. We've done it in the past. You know, we've gone to some places. But we want to find some destinations for our fans that make sense and will be fun to go to.
It's still a few years away, but it's like looming on the landscape. And I'm not asking you to step into Greg Sankey's shoes here necessarily. But the Big 12 grant of rights ends here in the next half decade or so. I sort of anticipate there to be a shifting sands a little bit in terms of conference realignment at least one more time. Do you see that happening with the league changing its footprint in the next 5-6 years?
I don't think it would be that soon. I think that probably at some point you're going to have another round of these kind of negotiations that we saw maybe, you know, 7 or 8 years ago that got hot and heavy. I'm just not sure that there is that there are markets out there that, I mean, it's going to have to. You think about the revenue that's coming in now, and each school is getting $40 million a year, whatever that number is. Is there another school out there or two that can bring that type of value to your league? If not, then you're going to start, you know, diluting the chairs
the pie,
a little bit.
Right,
you know,
right.
So I think that's kind of what our league is looking at. And certainly, you know, as you know, if the Big 12, the Big 10, whatever, as those start shedding teams or whatever, you're always going to look at that. But I think the league feels like they're in a good place right now. You know, everybody talks about, do we need to go from 8 to 9 conference games? I think our league is very happy with the results and getting into the playoff and those type of things. So certainly there's going to be some change. And that's what scares you a little bit with scheduling 12, 15, 18 years out. You got these Power 5 opponents on there. Well, if you go to 9 league games and you got 10 Power 5s, and so, you know, it's just one of those things. You're kind of threading the needle with it. But I don't think we're going to see any significant change in the next 5 or 6 years, maybe in the next 10 to 15.
We asked from a football standpoint. We asked Kermit this a second ago in basketball. What are you seeing from a basketball scheduling as far as what's possible? Obviously, Butler finishing this home and home. Because I thought when Butler was announced a few years ago, that was really kind of a watershed moment to go, okay, this is opening up a new thing. Obviously, the pavilion helps. What are sort of the factors there, and what do you see as far as Ole Miss being an attractive Power 5 home-and-home kind of basketball program right now?
Well, I'll tell you a funny story. So Kevin White, who's the AD at Duke, obviously friends with both of his sons, and yeah. I sent him a text the other day. We were talking about some basketball scheduling, and I said, hey, what are the chances of you know, of us getting a home-and-home with Duke? And he sent it back, and he said, hey, I'll push this over to our basketball administrator. He's like, I don't think it's a high probability because of all of our contracts and our obligations. So I sent him back the gif of Jim Carrey, so you're telling me there's a chance, you know. But, you know, it's hard. Basketball is interesting because, obviously, you're not scheduling out 15 years. You're usually scheduling a year or two in advance. And a lot of basketball is so much about relationships. Your coaches' relationships, who they want to play, those type of things. You know, the other mandate we have from the SEC is that our non-conference schedule has to have a 150 net or lower net slash RPI. We're kind of coming out of the RPI. So you have to stay in those parameters. But I know Kermit, you know, certainly he wants to get his team where he wants it to be. But once he does that, and we're close, he's all for playing some really good matchups, home and homes, neutral site games. I think you're going to see him want to play a very aggressive schedule and a fun schedule for our fans.
You make the joke about Duke, but, I mean, is there a lot of schools that would be willing to do it? Because, I mean, to me, I'm just kind of doing this, and everybody kind of laughs. I'm not a huge basketball guy, but it seems like if you want to play somebody that you're going to benefit from, so you want to be sure that they're going to have a good net, a good RPI or whatever, you're going to get good environments, is that sort of what it's about, is just being competitive and all being kind of that national name where people want you on the schedule because they know, hey, if we go in there and win, we've got a big resume mark moving forward?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And, again, it's kind of a math problem on that, too, because you're wanting to find teams that are just good enough in the net. You know, for example, we play Arkansas State tomorrow night, And they're improved this year, and they kind of fit in the parameters of what we were looking for. But after you play them, you want them to go win all the rest of their games,
right.
So, you know, for us, I think, you know, when we talk about the Butler coming to Oxford and, you know, Andy had Oregon that did a home-and-home and those type of things, those are the type of matchups that you want. You want to find matchups that are have a brand name, that draw fans and those type of things, but then are, you know, can be competitive enough to go in their league and win a bunch of games. So what we did with the league about, you know, 4 or 5 years ago when Dan Leibovitz came into the league, we started looking at non-conference scheduling and how that can help us. And, you know, you look, we were two or three teams in the NCAA tournament. This year, I think we could get, you know, 8 or 9 easily, you know. So it's all about the fact when you get into league play, the league needs to have an RPI/net of, you know, so that there are meaningful games in the league. And there was a time back, you know, 6 or 7 years ago where if you were in the 50s in the RPI, you had no chance in the league because you didn't have enough games to build that back up. So it's a fun process, and I think with what we're doing, Kermit's going to make sure that we continue to have good opponents come into the pavilion.
As a basketball guy, what's it like watching this league right now? Because we talked to Kermit about this. I mean, Neil's been saying for a while he thinks an 8-10 team potentially gets in the NCAA tournament this year from the league, because it's probably 12, maybe even 13 deep at the moment. Yeah. It looks like you're not even gonna have those 200 RPI games where you go in going, hey, they're bombs. There are no bombs in this conference schedule right now.
No, I think it's the best it's ever been. You know, I think back kind of in my era, there was a good run there for about 10 years where it was good, and then it was down for a while, and just the focus was kind of taken away from basketball. But right now you've got great coaches across the board. I mean, really good coaches. You know, an emphasis being put on basketball. The SEC Network has been great for basketball and recruiting and that nationwide approach. But I think it's going to be a really tough league. You know, I think the key is we need a lot of teams that come into the league with good records, because I think we're going to beat up on each other a lot when it gets to league play.
I'm assuming with beer sales and stuff, I mean, the security, the crime was down, not too much stuff going on, no havoc in the streets or anything, because you had a Coors Light hanging around last week?
Yeah, so for the A&M game, we sold just over 15,000, and it was good. We had a couple of ejections that were alcohol related, but nothing that was over the top.
It was the first time that alcohol ever was in Vaught Hemingway. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what we hear.
Incredible.
That's what we hear. So, but you know, a funny story is we started selling obviously for basketball at the women's exhibition game. That was the first time we sold because it was the first basketball event we had. And I asked our concessionaire, I said, hey, how did beer sales go for the women's exhibition? And they said, well, we sold seven. seven beers, $56, wow. You know. So
that's a budget changer there, buddy.
Yeah, we didn't sell much more than that for the men's exhibition, but we do think that it'll get going. And certainly, you know, basketball, you're probably not selling as many for football, but it's been good. And I think we implemented it in the right way. I think we waited and made sure that we did our due diligence, and hopefully everybody can still come to the game, grab a beer, and enjoy themselves.
Are you having to move kiosk around or anything? Just from a logistical standpoint, did you learn some stuff for the first time? Kind of what will people expect, especially next week against LSU when the crowd will be more what you're expecting?
Yeah, no, we got a lot of feedback and, you know, some long lines and some cluttered areas and those type of things. And certainly we're going to make some changes and tweak some things. More of that will probably happen in the off season when we can put some more permanent structure in place. But the problem is with just a small, kind of dated venue, the concourses, you're just going to have some tight spaces, and we're going to have to deal with that a little bit. But we're taking notes, learning every game, and going to try to make it as good as we can.
Kind of last thing here, what are sort of your day-to-day goals right now? I mean, you're coming to this point, you've been here for a while, we hit a bunch of kind of specifics, but just in general, what are you sort of going to the office trying to do right now, day-to-day?
Well, you know, I think obviously this is an interesting time of the year when you kind of have some crossover seasons. You got basketball, you know, starting. You got football and volleyball and soccer kind of finishing. So it's a busy time. Your staff is kind of taxed because everybody's going in a lot of different directions. We're a little bit understaffed right now because of some attrition. So you're just trying to hold it together in some ways from that standpoint. But, you know, we want to continue to be aggressive. Our development folks are out on the road every day asking for money and doing those type of things. And, you know, obviously, you know, to be perfectly candid, you know, with everything going on with the AD search, you know, you're consumed by that a little bit, and not just me, but our department. You know, I mean, I think it's one of those things where our folks are ready for some stability, and you know, they can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I've got to commend our staff so much because they've worked hard. You know, we put on good football games. We've done so many good things, so many events, and people have done their jobs through this time of a little bit of unrest and uncertainty. So it's been good.
Yeah, you know, could you mentioned that, and I think this is probably a fair thing. I mean, you got Jill, you got a family, you got all these things. Do you have to, not on the clock, but in minds go, hey, if this thing doesn't go my way, what's next? I mean, do you sort of have to spend time on that? Like, how do you sort of balance some of that with your life right now, too?
No, that's a big part of it because, you know, I mean, candidly, for me, part of my pitch point would be that when we can hit the ground running, you know, we're ready to roll. And so, you know, I think that certainly adding some staff, getting back to full staff, I'm kind of thinking and putting some feelers out on some of that stuff. And, you know, I think we could move pretty quickly on that. Obviously, you know, into football season coming up, you know, you got some things to work with there. And but yeah, you know, you spend a lot of time thinking, you know, one, what do I need to accomplish today to make sure that Ole Miss functions and, you know, we do the things we need to do, but also more long term, you know, if this thing did happen, you know, where would we go and how quickly could we go there?
Keith, appreciate joining us today along with Kermit. Again, if you're headed on out, Blake's still back there with the Blue Delta, but good luck the rest of the way and we'll talk to you again.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thank you, Keith. Appreciate it.
Thank you.